Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
This is the Fly the W670 The Score podcast, and it is season four. It's episode number four, and the CubsCon Extravaganza 2025 is upon us. As you know, don't forget to leave us one of those five-star reviews. Well, Crowley, we didn't get everything we wanted. We haven't got a whole lot that we wanted, to be honest, but the Cubs were involved on the Sasaki sweepstakes, but apparently they've come up a little bit short.
Yep, Cub fans were hoping, praying that Japanese phenom pitcher Roki Sasaki would be choosing the north side as his new home. But alas, it wasn't meant to be. Dustin, MLB divides its international free agents into two categories. Professionals, which the league defines as players who are at least 25 years old and have played professional in a foreign league for a minimum of six seasons. And amateurs, defined as any player 16 or over who doesn't yet qualify as a professional. So Roki is 23 years old. He throws triple digits, and he's not going to cost a lot of money. Right. So Yamamoto last season, he already played 6 years in the NPB. And so he signed a $325 million deal. You're going to essentially get someone similar for at the most $10 million. So, I mean, it's just one of those things.
It was a massive bargain, you know, and congratulations, I guess. Listen, at this point, as long as it's not the Dodgers, you know, I obviously wanted it to be the Cubs. We all listening wanted it to be the Cubs. As long as it's not the Dodgers.
Right. Monday, the news just started leaking out slowly, and I'm watching. All of a sudden, said, hey, the Giants were told that they're out on Sasaki. And then it was the Yankees and then the Mets. And now all of a sudden, I'm glued to my phone. Then the Rangers, and that just left the final four: Dodgers, Padres, Blue Jays, and Cubs. And unfortunately, it was Sahad of Sharma at 4:53 who let us all know that it just wasn't going to be with the Cubs. I think he would have liked playing here.
Well, maybe he won't like playing in San Diego, and maybe when he gets a second contract, it'll be here.
Yeah, maybe. To me, it was always either going to be the Dodgers or Padres. But you know what? I'd like to see him go to the Blue Jays, like you said. Anything but the Dodgers. I'd like, you know, the Padres would be cool. I like the Padres and the way they've been doing things, and I like Yu Darvish, and so I'd be happy, just like you said, just not the Dodgers. Let's start to make it a little bit fun. This can't be like the most mega super team ever.
No, absolutely not. Okay, so no Sasaki, but we got Urrea.
Yep, we got Colin Urrea. The Cubs made it official. Colin Urrea is back. We talked about it on the last episode. He signed a $5 million deal 1 year with an option for 2026. So the contract is roughly worth about $6 million guaranteed. And so Urrea pitched for the Cubs in 2020 and for Craig Council and the Brewers the last few years. The question, though, Dustin, last time we left was who was going to be removed from the 40-man roster to make room for him, right? And the answer was kind of shocking to me. It was Michael Arias, who is the Cubs' 18th-ranked prospect. And so he was a position player who was converted to pitcher, and he shot up the minor league system. I got to see him when I went to go visit Myrtle Beach. I threw out the first pitch and sang the stretch down at the Dirty Myrtle, and it was a lot of fun. But I saw this kid, and him and Moises Ballesteros, I was like, wow, these guys are special. This kid through gas. Now, the one thing, though, you know, in that first season he did, he went through Myrtle Beach, and then he went to South Bend. And then last season he went to Tennessee and then got called up to Iowa. And control issues have kind of always been a part of his game. He's kind of struggled with control. But I was surprised to see that he was the one on the, you know, that was put on DFA to make room. And today, Dustin, we find out that the Yankees traded him for cash consideration. So he made it through the waiver process. And so they traded him and they got some cash for Michael Arias. I wish him nothing the best. He was a great kid. I got a chance to talk to him down in Myrtle. And, you know, it's hard sometimes when you get to know these kids a little bit and then all of a sudden they're going somewhere else. Speaking of going somewhere else, Dustin, I thought about you and I'll tell you why. We got some news that I know that you were probably crying about a little bit upset. Yeah, the Cubs had to make room for reliever Matt Festa, and so Miles made it through waivers, so the Cubs traded him to Seattle for cash considerations.
We have any idea how much cash considerations you get on that?
I am not sure on that. I just know he is on the Mariners 40-man roster. So now, Dustin, you have an NL team and an AL team you can root for. I was going to get you a Mariners Mastroboni jersey, but, you know, I don't know. We wish Miles the best.
I don't wish anything bad on him. I saw enough of Miles Mastroboni. Thank you very much.
All righty. So we talked about Colin Rea, we talked about Matt Festa, and you had a chance to have Tommy Hotovy on the Mully and Haw show this morning. Always a good listen, right?
Yeah, great guy. Great that Tommy's back. He's headed to Chicago for a couple of days to take part in a couple of the Cubs festivities with Cubs Con, and had some interesting things to say, and talked about, you know, both starting pitching and bullpen stuff.
Yeah, and Roki Sasaki, and this is how Tommy discussed losing out on Sasaki.
It's disappointing the fact that, you know, we were one of the teams that got to present. You know, I was part of that, part of the process. We felt really good about just the overall process we went through, the presentation, the evaluation, the whole thing, and it didn't work out. And for one reason or another, he chose the three teams he did. And I think, you know, is it disappointing you don't get a guy of that caliber? Absolutely. But I think what you're able to take away as a group and as an organization, all the people that came together to work on a project like that, it's exciting because we know we can do really good things. And yes, we're not a finalist for Roki, but when you can showcase what you can do as an organization to an agency or to an industry in a different light that, you know, you don't do in normal free agency, I think it's always a really good thing. I do think the whole process is a little weird with a guy like Roki because it's just, you know, this, the international free agent signing thing is just, there still needs to be, in my opinion, some kinks, you know, worked out. The fact that you have a guy of that caliber that you're going to be able to get for 6 years in your organization, and he gets to decide where he wants to go, seems really strange when you have like a Paul Skeens who's a first round draft pick and the Pirates get him. So, you know, it's just a weird process, and I think it's something that, you know, I think MLB over time is going to need to continue to figure out because there's going to be more talent like his that pops up, you know, and we see that kind of every couple of years, some really, really talented people. But, you know, as far as our process, you know, felt really good about it. Now it's, you know, how we continue to find ways to make our team better.
I really liked how Tommy mentioned the process and the idea that there's a lot of Latino players that were really frustrated with this situation. We talked about how the Dodgers said, hey, you know, certain guys, you can go sign with somebody else because we got to save the money for Roki. You know, going back on agreements, handshake agreements, obviously. But, you know, it's to me, obviously, Roki Yoshinobu Yamamoto, those are guys that are professionals. You know what I mean? They're not the 16, 17-year-old Dominican kids or from Venezuela or something like that. It's a different process. And it just, it's not, he's, you know, the fact that some team's going to get him so cheap is just ridiculous. You know, it should really, should really just be a free agent, a regular free agent, not an international free agent. They need
I don't know how they come up with these rules, but they are what they are, and they're here what they hear, and we're unfortunately dealing with what we're dealing with. It's not ideal, but you know, it sounds like the Cubs got an A on their presentation. They just didn't get any bonus points, I guess, right? They didn't get an A plus, but they got an A.
Right. That sounds good. Now, you know, two guys, Dustin, that we were really looking forward to seeing on the Cubs last year, Ben Brown and Cade Horton. We did see Ben Brown. We didn't see Cade Horton because and both of those guys had to deal with injuries. And one of the questions asked to Tommy was about, you know, the role of those two guys. And, you know, just a question that we've talked about on the show, you know, is there going to be inning limits? Are those guys going to be coming out of the bullpen as they try to work their way back from those injuries? And here's what Tommy had to say.
They're both doing great right now, which is a really good thing. I think they'll both be here this weekend too. I know I'm pretty sure Ben and Kate are going to all both be in town, which will be fun for everybody to get to see them. I think what these signings allow you to do is not rush guys that either didn't finish the season healthy or might be slightly delayed. Not meaning that they're like hurt or not, you know, going to be like missing the first 2 or 3 months of the season, but it affords you the opportunity to not rush and push those guys in early in the season. We see mid-March, late March, and that end of April, early May times are the two biggest times of the year that guys get hurt in baseball, especially on the pitching side. And that's just been that way for a long time. We're doing a lot of research and finding ways to be able to try to negate that on our end. And some of that is just having more bodies and having the volume of pitchers you need to get through that portion of the season. Both of those guys, you know, definitely still believe in as starters. We're always open, as you saw, like Ben last year at times, to have guys, young guys especially, come in and pitch some high leverage innings in the bullpen, and we trust them to do that. So it leaves the door wide open, and that signings like Boyd and Ray afford us the opportunity to not only, you know, make sure those guys are ready for the season, but also have some creative ideas on how to utilize.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game, and that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So when you look at that, it's obviously, you know, when you talk about not having to rush those guys, that's a big deal. And we saw the effect that, like, Justin Steele, if you remember, years ago, he came out of the bullpen. He wasn't a starter, you know, when he came up with the Cubs. And so it's a good opportunity. And again, if you only are throwing one or two innings, you can throw a little bit harder, a little bit nastier stuff, because you don't have to make it through the order three times through or try to make it five, six innings. And you can use those arms longer instead of as a starter. So when you talk about Boyd and you talk about Rhea, those are guys that'll give you those starts that you're looking for, right?
Yep, absolutely right. You know, they're going to have some guys that eat some innings. There's no doubt about that. But you know, it sounded pretty positive, right? I mean, I took what he said as a pretty positive sign for some of the young guys that didn't finish out the way that we had hoped, and they had hoped that they would.
All you can ask is being healthy, have them healthy coming into camp, and then just see where it goes from there. And you hope that one of those guys can have a breakthrough year, you know, just someone that you didn't think about. Porter Hodge last year, where the Cubs right. would have been without mm-hmm. Porter Hodge, you know, right. You just need somebody to kind of break out and do something that to really help the team that maybe, you know, can get you, you know, add three or two, four wins to the team that you weren't expecting to get.
Yep. Exactly right. No, that's a great point, Carly. Great point.
Now, obviously, your teammate on the score, Bruce Levine, Odyssey writer, Marquee. We know Bruce always has some scoops, and this is what he said the other day on Marquee.
Well, short term, yeah. Okay. And I think the Cubs are going to be in on it if it goes to one or three. 1 year deal, maybe a 3 year deal with opt outs for Bregman would be the way that he and his agent are going to go at this point. Bregman turned down 6 years and $156 million.
That's lucrative.
Astros. It's not looking good for him right now. But here's the difference in 2024 in his career and something that the general managers are looking at right now. The OPS dropped almost 100 points, and the on-base percentage way low. He didn't walk. He walked almost half as much as he did in the past. So with those things in mind, at age 30, is this guy going the other direction? Well, short term, so yeah. Okay. And I think the Cubs are.
Dustin, we're talking with Alex Bregman. So Bruce says that Alex Bregman is into some type of deal that similar to what Cody Bellinger got, right? 3 years with opt-outs, etc. But I don't know. The Cody Bellinger thing kind of got me a little bit nervous because if it doesn't work out, you're stuck with the tab, right?
Right.
I think that the Cubs, didn't want Bellinger to opt back in. It surprised them when he did. And then, obviously the Yankees picked it up, but that was a little bit of a nerve-wracking situation. And so Alex Bregman, you wonder if Scott Boras overplayed his hand with him again, like he did, with a couple of his clients last year. He was offered $156.6 million deal from Houston, and he turned it down. And I'm wondering if that was another mistake.
Yeah, it appears to be a mistake. I mean, a guy, you always like a guy who's betting on himself. I mean, he's going to come in here if it does happen. Here's the key to this whole thing. I don't necessarily mind the, let's say, $19 million for this coming season. It's what's after that and how is it set up? Is it a player option? Is it a mutual option? There's no way they're going to let it be just the Cubs option with like a $750,000 thanks for the memories. See you later. Bye. Right. So, is it going to be another, 18 million in 26 and another 19 million in 27? I don't want to go down that road. I don't want Cody Bellinger 2.0 contract.
Yeah. It's not going to be a Colin Rea there that it's going to be the team, no, that this is going to be exactly like Cody's deal. And it's going to be Scott Boras putting it together. So, you know what it's going to be. It's going to be a lot of money with the opt out. So basically if he does good, he's going to parlay that into a bigger contract. If he doesn't do good, then you're kind of stuck on the hook for that. So, I don't know. When you think about Bregman's numbers and the fact that it just didn't look good last year, he's 30 years old. I don't know. I think that, the Cubs still might be interested in someone, Ha-Seong Kim or Yoán Moncada. We've talked about
Yoán Moncada. We talk about that a little bit. The storyline. I just love the storyline of that. That's all. I just love the storyline. So Crowley, there's a picture on social media that's bothering you.
Probably not a big deal, Dustin. I know.
Probably not. I know. Listen, I'm the king of making a big deal out of nothing, but you, my friend, are making a big deal out of something here.
So Kyle Tucker took a picture of himself at a training facility working out. Why would that be a big deal, Crawley? Because he was working out with Cam Smith, who the Cubs traded to acquire Tucker. I'm guessing, obviously, the location is somewhere in Texas, and so I'm sure Cam's down there getting used to everything. All I'm saying is if the Cubs do not sign Kyle Tucker to an extension, this picture is going to haunt me. Dustin, in my man cave, in the washroom, I'm not kidding you, there, I have a place that's called the Wall of Shame. And in that is pictures of negative things in the Cubs' history. And obviously everybody knows Brock for Broglio, right? The famous, famous trade where the Cubs traded Lou Brock, future Hall of Famer and key catalyst to Cardinals World Series for a bum arm in Lou Broglio. But there was never a picture of the two next to each other working out. Could you imagine if that existed? I'm just saying if the Cubs extend Kyle Tucker and he goes on and has Kyle Tucker type years, I won't think twice about what Cam Smith does in the future. But if Kyle Tucker walks and Cam Smith really kind of blossoms, that picture will be ingrained in Cubs fan lore, I promise you.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about that. And we've got official dates. We knew it would be early, but boy, it's not that far away. The Cubs announced spring training workout days, pitchers and catchers, and full team report dates.
Yes, sir. No sweeter words in the English language than pitchers and catchers report. We got the schedule. And so when you look at spring training this year, and I just kind of took this picture here to kind of give our listeners, if you're on 670 The Score, the YouTube channel, you can see that the Cubs are the first team to have their pitchers and catchers work out. That's February 9th. And then the Dodgers 11th, and then everyone starts really more the 12th and 13th. Cubs have full squad first workout on the 14th, and the Dodgers on the 15th, when most teams are going to be having them on the 17th and 18th. So, obviously, The Tokyo series is coming up. And so opening day is March 27th, but Cubs and the Dodgers start March 18th and 19th, about a week and a half earlier than every other team.
I mean, Crowley, that's like a month out, or two months out from the first games in Japan.
Right. And we're less than a month away from pitchers and catchers reporting. So again, it makes sense. You got to try to get everybody, you know, ramped up to be ready to play in Tokyo. And Dustin, I got an email today.
I saw your tweet. This is interesting.
Yes. So for season ticket holders, there will be a lottery that you can enter. And in this lottery, you have a chance. You're not guaranteed a chance to get tickets for the Tokyo series. Now, here's the thing as well. It is non-transferable. So if you are planning on paying for little Bobby's college fund by scalping these tickets, ain't going to happen. So if you buy the tickets, the expectation is you show up, you're not selling them on the secondary market. And so, I cannot make it, unfortunately. I wish everybody luck, but I know, you know, between Cubs season ticket holders, Dodgers season ticket holders. And again, the point of all of this is to grow the game in Japan, right? And you talk to Japanese players, and they remember when Sammy Sosa was in Japan against the Mets and Mike Piazza. Like, that was a huge, you know, moment. And so you got to know that a lot of the tickets are probably going to be reserved for people in Japan. So, and then you got corporate sponsors and you got all this other stuff. So I think it's going to be very similar to the Field of Dream games, where there's going to be very few tickets out there for people that are hoping to go. So we'll see what happens.